We continue our series on the generational curse. After recognizing and repenting of the generational curse, there is a need to rebuke the curse and all that is pro-curse. What is meant by rebuking in the biblical sense? The Greek term epitomao means to tax upon, to censure, admonish, forbid. Contextually, it means to verbally make war against the forces of the world that seek to control the lives of the Christians. Now follow the pattern. In Mark 1:25, Jesus rebuked. He verbally warred with him, saying, "Be quiet, come out of him." In Matthew 8:26, then he arose and rebuked, verbally warred with the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. In Luke 4:39, and standing over her, he rebuked. He verbally warred with the fever, and it left her. And she immediately arose and waited on them. I substituted the meaning in for rebuked. In other words, we are in a war with the world concerning the things that are unseen. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The King James, Ephesians 6:12, confirmed that. And the weapons that we are to use are not that of a worldly strategy, but that which assaults the spiritual world. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4. Now we can try to assault the spiritual world in a physical way, but that will not result in a victory. That is obvious. Besides prayer, one of the greatest weapons we have against darkness in this world is the continual rebuking of that which is evil. We must curse the curse publicly and privately before our friends and our families. The curse must not stand unopposed in relation to our lives and the lives of our children. We must be in rebuking mode concerning the breaking of the generational curse. No rebuking, no breaking, no blessing. Rebuking does three important things for three types of people. They are as follows. Number one, it holds the Christians accountable. Rebuking cursed behavior among the believers communicates a powerful message. And here's what it is. Stay away from evil. One of the reasons that Christians are afraid to rebuke that which needs to be rebuked is because it communicates a commitment to action. When a Christian faces a path before him or her that leads to or furthers the generational curse, there must be a stand taken. If they rebuke a behavior, then they are committed to getting rid of that behavior, lest the name hypocrite applies. The last thing a believer wants to do is to be accurately accused of wavering in their faith. This is the same reason that the leaders of the people of God are held to a higher standard, whether they want to be or not. 1 Timothy 5, verse 20, those who continue in sin rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also may be fearful of sinning. Rebuking of evil among the people of God holds the people accountable. This is what the Israelites were doing in the following text. Deuteronomy 15 to 26. They were rebuking the bad behavior. You ready? Verse 15. Cursed is the man who makes an idol or a molten image. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary mark. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who misleads a blind person on the road. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who distorts justice due to the alien, orphan, and widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. I'm going to speed this up. Verse 20, cursed is he who lies with his father's wife because he hath uncovered his father's skirt. 21, cursed is he who lies with any animal. 22, cursed is he who lies with a sister, a daughter of his father or his mother. Cursed is he who lies with his mother-in-law. Cursed is he who strikes his neighbor in secret. Cursed is he who accepts a bribe to strike down an innocent person. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of the law by so doing them, and all the people shall say, Amen. Now God has called certain behavior cursed, and all the people kept Amen. Cursed is this. Cursed is that. Cursed is this. Cursed is that. Amen, 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 amen. I agree. That was the purpose. They're coming into agreement with that which should be cursed. Poor behavior needs to be cursed. And by agreeing to the cursing of God on those lifestyles, they were holding themselves accountable to each other to keep out of the cursed category. Without a doubt, people saying amen were strong in their stance concerning evil of those practices and natural consequences that would follow for the violators. It holds the aggressors accountable as well. You see, it doesn't just hold the Christians accountable, but it holds the aggressors accountable. What happens when those who are participating in a generational curse, when they are not rebuked for their poor behavior? What if we know something that is absolutely wrong and keep it silent? According to the Bible, we have an obligation to speak up. When we see destruction coming, we have an obligation to issue warnings for those souls who are jeopardized. Ezekiel 33, the chapter on the watchman, we see this very point. Ezekiel 33, verse 2 through 6, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, if I bring a sword upon the land, and the people of the land take one man from among them and make them their watchmen, and he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows on the trumpet and warns the people, then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of a trumpet and did not take warning, and his blood will be on himself. But he has taken warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. You know, when we openly rebuke, we war with the words, behavior, and policies which lead to generational curses, then our hands are washed clean of the curse. And there is accountability to the cursed behavior. How many people would have changed their mind if only there was someone to stand up to the curse among those who embraced it? How many times has Jesus desired us to be more like Him and say something before it's too late? When we do, we are leaving accountability in the hands of the propagator of the curse. Curse, the curse, it holds the Christians accountable. It holds the aggressors accountable. And it also holds the undecided accountable. You see, you have to recognize the curse. You have to repent of the curse. And you have to rebuke the curse because it holds the undecided accountable. What happens when the forces of a generational curse, the forces of evil, are allowed to promote their agenda freely without opposition? What is the result when our friends, acquaintances, and children are subjected to constant bombardment from the forces of evil without a single word of rebuke? The result is the generational curse becoming a recruiting effort for rebellion against God. Every time forces of evil launch an attack on the church, the Bible, and the values found therein, there are evaluations made in the mind of all those that are exposed. If a situation is not handled correctly, then the odds of the curse going on to the next generation goes up. If the poor behavior is rebuked, then the curse's contagious qualities are limited, and the people are forced to make a decision based on the truth rather than the lies. This is why the largest group of individuals in the fold is usually the undecided, because they generally make up their minds based on what they hear, usually going along with the, quote, perceived majority. If they only hear one side of the issue, the odds of drawing a conclusion concerned with the perceived majority is quick and weakly reason. And when we're in rebuking the forces that led to the generational curses in our society, the undecided will make better decisions. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Therefore, we're to shine into their minds and stop the undecided from making an unreasoned decision. We want them to base it on the facts. And unless if we rebuke, it's not going to happen. Now, I want to make a special note. We need to rebuke with a reason. Yes, the rebuke that we have when we see something that's evil, like if we see a drunk, an alcoholic, and our children see that, rebuke that behavior. Show the Christian, show the lost soul, show the undecided that that's wrong. But why is it wrong? It's not enough to just say it's wrong. There must be a reason behind it. Not because you just don't like it. We can sternly speak against everything in this world that the Bible calls unholy, but if it comes across as our opinion rather than reason, then we will come across as narrow-minded and bigoted. We must have sound reason, not emotion, as the driving force behind the rebuke of the generational curses in our lives. When we are doing this, then the people will be forced to deal with the issue at hand and react in such a way that will stop the curses in many lives. Let's follow an example and see how this works. How to properly rebuke a generational curse. We know how to recognize one, and we know how to repent. We covered that in the last lesson. But we had better get the rebuking down because it's a crucial step. Let me give you an example. In January in 2003, the breast-exposing, crotch-grabbing, vulgar, verbal, spewing Super Bowl halftime show is a good example of curse-nurturing behavior. Millions of souls were watching the television only to be treated to a double portion of this slime. There were three reactions from individuals concerning this stunt. There were the pro-curse individuals. They were the ones who tried to defend the path of the curse. When this singer exposed her breast to millions of people, these pro-curse individuals, the ones who wanted the curse to go on, they didn't know it, but they did. They used the excuse of artistry and freedom of expression. Some of them in this group may have tried to justify it by comparing it to other examples of moral decadence. Was not as bad as this. Still others may have tried to defend it by calling it an accident, yet their apologies did not include an admission of repentance. I'm sorry if I offended someone. You bet you did offend someone. You offended millions. I'm sorry if I offended someone. That's not the same as, please forgive me. I did do something very wrong and very offensive. These pro-curse individuals, they're very vocal about the situation while trying to justify it with their twisted logic. Now, there were those who were the neutral individuals. They were the ones that have yet to make up their minds concerning the curse. They generally follow the perceived majority. They were willing to listen to both sides of the opinion and follow the path that makes the most sense to them. They usually don't want to be the one to go out on a limb in the beginning, but they'll follow. And then there were those who were the anti-curse. They cursed the curse. They were vocal and active souls concerning the path of wickedness. They called the television and radio stations, the Congress, and other elected leaders, their friends and relatives, cursing the plague that was displayed. Christian parents should have and did rebuke this as unacceptable behavior because it promotes sexual impurity and defilement. I can tell you in my house, it was cursed. This is wrong because it's wrong. It shows me in the Bible. It is not promoting of a good societal behavior. Because if everyone did that which is right in his own eyes, and I gave my kids reasons. Now, why are we not rebuking the lewd acts that occur around us? Because all those people who were neutral looked at the arguments. And because the evidence was so abundant, the behavior was pretty much condemned in our society, although defended by some, the pro-curse. And they'll be cursed for that. Now, what thoughts go through our children's mind when we logically rebuke that which is evil? What if a dad were to not only rebuke the behavior demonstrated on television, but give the reasons for the rebuke? Not just say, that's just wicked and wrong, but show why it is cursed. What if the father were to say, children, what you saw on the television the other night was evil and a cursed behavior that must not be accepted in any form or fashion. It is bad. Why? Because God does not want our minds dwelling in the sewer, but on heavenly things. He does not want our minds to be filled with trashy thoughts, but with joy, peace, and patience. God does not want us focusing on the creation, but the creator of the creation. God wants us to treat each other with love and care, not selfishness, not lust. He tells us these things because there are built-in natural consequences that will lead to moral filth. And that, in return, will lead us to a path of destruction. We are to be leading the lost to Christ, not leading ourselves away from Him. And I tell you these things because I want you to have abundant life, not a filled with curse, but a blessing. And what happens if we explain why we cursed that which is cursed? When we do that, the result is the building of a moral inventory that will give the next generation strength to deal with issues like this in the future. We may not have control over a bird flying above us, but we can stop him from building a nest on our head. Step one in dealing with the generational curse, recognize it. Step two, repent from it. Step three, rebuke it. The last and final lesson, next lesson we'll cover, replace it. Recognize it, repent, rebuke, finally replace it. Edward Gibbon, author of The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, has attributed to the fall of the Empire of Rome to this. Number one, a rapid increase of divorce, the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, which is the basis of human society. Number two, higher and higher taxes, and the spending of public monies for free bread and circuses for the populace. Number three, a mad craze for pleasure. Sports becoming every year more exciting and more brutal. Number four, the building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy was within, the decadence of the people. And number five, the decay of religion. Faith fading into a mere form, losing touch with life, and becoming impotent to warn and guide the people. Are you willing to take the third step to stop the generational curses in your life? Are you willing to recognize a curse when you see it? Are you willing to repent of that curse? Are you willing to rebuke it? Rebuke that which is cursed. The price is great, but the reward is greater. Take this third necessary step of rebuking the curse. Up next, replacing it.